Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, have a seat. As you're having a seat, get your Bible. I'll go with me to Deuteronomy, and we're going to be in chapter number 28. I'm sorry, I got the wrong address. 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to be in, going to launch out from there tonight. Tonight, the title of the message is Fear Not. Fear not. Some of you guys need this word tonight. Guess what? I need this word tonight. And how about this one? Everybody need this word tonight, okay? All of us. Why? Because things will come in our life that try and drag us down. Many things that we could fear over, things that we could fret over, things that we could sit biting our nails, rocking back and forth in the cold, dark room of our house and wonder how we're going to make it, what are we going to do, that sort of a thing. And the devil would love to lock you up in fear. In fact, the Bible tells us that we were subject to bondage all of our lives. That's what the devil was doing. He's trying to make us afraid of death, trying to make us afraid of things that would take place in life. What is going to happen next? And for all of us, we need to know that the Bible has a bold statement for all of us. And I wanted to say it in the old King James style, you know what I mean? Because sometimes you just remember it because thus saith the Lord, right? Fear not. Don't be afraid. We need to understand that all throughout the Bible, this statement is repeated over and over and over and over again. In fact, I've heard it said that there are over 365 direct references to fear in the Bible. That means you could have a promise every day of your life about fear. One pastor even said that there are 366 because God covered leap year as well. I like that one. But for all of us, we need to understand that fear is very real. It's something that's a part of all of our lives. And fear can also accumulate into worry, doubts, anxieties, frustrations. You know, people are afraid of what other people think about them. And so they're killing themselves because of what was posted online. There's kids that are being bullied and they're receding inside because of fear. There's things that are going on in our lives. People won't invest. People won't buy a house. People won't launch out and do something. All why? Because of fear. People are afraid of relationships. People are afraid of what other people are going to think. People are afraid of finances and not having or having too much. And what's that going to do to me? And all this stuff. But with so much to fret over, why should we take these two words at face value? Think about it. All throughout the Bible, God tells us, fear not. Fear not. And don't you think that if it was just that easy, that we would all be good? You know, we could just wrap it up tonight. Hey, the title of the message is Fear Not. Praise the Lord. Let's go home, right? Shouldn't we be able to take these words at face value? Well, we should, but yet we still fret and we still fear and we still worry and we still have anxiety and things that we need to deal with in our life. And so tonight I wanted to give you some reasons why we shouldn't fear. Why can we take these words at fear not? Why should we take them at face value? Here's the reason why. Fear not because, okay? Now I'm going to complete this statement a couple of times. All right, so that all of us understand why we should not fear. Because it's one thing for me to tell you what, another thing for me to tell you why, okay? And as we get a hold of the why, you're going to get a hold of the how. Everybody with me? Did I just confuse you? You said, Pastor Dan, that's all like the who, what, when, where, why, when, and did they, can they, should they, will they? Fear not because, number one, God is with you on the journey. Fear not because God is with you on the journey. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Everywhere you go, God is with you. Now, I think this is one of the things that we can actually downplay in our minds, right? Because you hear, fear not, because God's everywhere, all at once, everywhere. God is the all-knowing, all-seeing, ever-present, omnipresent, omnipotent, right? Almighty, all-powerful God. And we can be comforted with that, but sometimes I think we can write that off because God's everywhere, right? He's in the heaven of heavens. He's on the earth. He's in the earth. He's everywhere at all places. Now, that doesn't mean that God is in a tree or in a rock. That just means that anywhere you go, God is there because he is present everywhere. And it'd be easy to dismiss this because we're often reminded of this. It almost gets commonplace, doesn't it? God's everywhere. Wherever you go, God's with you, right? And we almost get the sense and the feeling, well, yeah, he's everywhere, but I'm still afraid. I'm still worried. I'm still caring about these things. So maybe God's presence everywhere isn't doing too much for me. Heard the story of the kids at a Christian school. Maybe you've heard this one before too, that there was a kids at a Christian school and they were going to have lunch. And so at the lunch line, they had a long table with a bunch of different plates of food on them. And at the very beginning, there was a plate of apples and it said, take one, please. God is watching. And it was underlined in bold Sharpie marker, right? And then a little ways down, they had another plate of cookies, and one of the students had written their own note there for the plate of cookies, and it said, take as many as you want. God's watching all the apples. And I think maybe sometimes we feel like that, right? Oh, God's only watching the good apples. God's only after the pastor. God's only after the staff at the church. Maybe God's after that person that I know that they've got a direct connection with God. I mean, look at how much they read their Bible, or look at their prayer life, or they just got blessed and I didn't get blessed. God must be watching after them. He's not watching after me. And yet I'm here to tell you that God is not just everywhere all at once, even though he is, that God is personally, hello, privately, with you and with me. You say, how does he do that? He's God. I don't know how he does it. He just does it, all right? He's that good. He's God. He can be everywhere all at once, and he can be personally and privately with you all at once. He's distributed to us his spirit. Each and every one of us as a believer has the spirit of God living on the inside of us. Now, again, I don't know how that works, but I know it does. I know that God has given his spirit. Just as the tongues of fire divided amidst the church in Acts on the birthday of the church, guess what? When you got saved, there was a portion of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that was given to you, and in that portion became the whole. Not just in part, but you get all of God there is. And God is personally with you wherever you go. He is with you on the journey. See, God is not a far away presence somewhere out there in the clouds, somewhere in heaven, not caring about what's going on the earth. Because if we just think of God in those terms of just being everywhere but not with me, we can feel lonely, can't we? You can feel distant from God, distant from others. How about this one? We can feel isolated. And in isolation, that's the devil's playground when he starts racking your thoughts. You're the only one that's like this. God's looking after the good apples. You're not a good apple. You were a bad apple. You messed up again. And you're going to do it again. Why? Because you're messed up, right? The devil racks us with these thoughts and he tells us these things. Why? Because if he can get us alone, if he can get us isolated, he's a lion, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, lions in the wilderness prey on the weak, the sick, and the isolated. And the devil wants to get you that way so he can prey on you. But in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, verse number 6, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6, this is Moses. He's speaking to the children of Israel as they're preparing to go into the promised land. He's just told them that he's not going to get to go with them. He tells them that Joshua's going before them. He encourages them with these words. But look at what he says in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear. Can I say it to you, old King James? Fear not. Nor be afraid of them. Who's the them? The them is the them that they're going to meet on the other side of the river. The them is the giants that they've seen in the land. The them is all of the fortified walled cities that have better technology and better position than they have. He says, don't be afraid of them. Look at what he goes on to say. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I think it's good for us to understand that when you go somewhere, God goes with you. That ought to be a revelation to somebody in this place tonight, because if you just think of God everywhere all at one time, that means that whatever you do, wherever you go, in your sadness and your happiness and all the different things that you encounter throughout the day and your thoughts and in your emotions and all that kind of stuff, that God's just there, but he's maybe not with you. But today, if you start to switch your thinking over and start to understand and realize that wherever I go, he goes. Whatever I do, God's right there with me in the doing, in the process, right? That'll change the way that you live, won't it? That'll change the thoughts. You know, I've heard it said, maybe you've heard the statement that a friend is someone who walks in when everybody else walks out. Have you heard that statement? It's kind of a cool statement, isn't it? But think about it this way. God's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. And he walks in no matter whether not anybody else is walking out. And guess what? If you're ready to walk out, he's walking out with you. Isn't that amazing? That if you're ready to even give up on yourself, the Bible says he will not deny us because he can't deny himself. He's made a promise to be with you wherever you go. And if you are ready to give up on yourself, God is not ready to give up on you yet. God will not give up on you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you walk out, he's going with you out the door. God is your God, and God loves you so much, and God is with you on the journey. Where's your journey taking you? Is it to the other side? Is it to the promise? Maybe it's to the wilderness. Maybe you're in one of those seasons right now where you're going, God, I don't know what you're doing. I've seen this rock before. I've gone around in circles. But God is with you. Just remember that wherever you go, God is with you. In adversity and in challenges, in trials and weaknesses, God's with you. On the mountaintop, when you're celebrating, when you're rejoicing, when the blessings are being showered down on you, God is with you. He's right there with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, God is with you. It brings us to the second thing for tonight. Fear not. Why? Fear not, number two, because the blessing is yours. Oh, you got to get a hold of this one tonight. This is a fun one. Okay? Because oftentimes we think about the blessing is for the good apples that God's actually watching after, right? But can I tell you something? The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are already blessed, and not just blessed, blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, the natural mind might say, well, that's great in the spirit and that's great in Jesus, but here I am living on the earth and what good is that doing for me here and now? Well, here's the thing is that the spirit always trumps the natural. Because the natural was created by the spirit. So the spirit is the reality. The natural is that which came from the reality, right? When we die, when we shed these earth suits, our spirit will live on with God for eternity. So why am I worried about natural things? See, we need to get our focus off the natural and get our focus onto the spiritual. I love what, there's a cool illustration of this. Quaker Christians have a way of praying. They call it palms down and palms up praying. All right? Palms down praying symbolizes them casting their cares, their anxieties, their frets, their worries, their fears, right? Because what are they doing with palms down? They're casting. They're just saying, this is palms down prayer. God, I give you my worry. God, I give you my fears. God, I give you my frustration, right? That's all palms down prayers. But then they pray palms up. And palms up is, God, I'm ready to receive your goodness. God, I'm ready to receive your blessings. Lord God, I'm in position. See, if I was to say, hey, I've got a gift for you and I'm going to toss it to you, you'd have to have palms up, right? Ready to receive whatever's coming to you. But if you were throwing it to me, that would be palms down. I think we ought to maybe practice this a little bit in our lives, don't we? Think about this. Okay, everybody try this with me. Put your palms down. Put them out in front of you, okay? Palms down. What's the worry that you came in with tonight? What's the worry of tomorrow? What's the worry of yesterday? It was election day yesterday, wasn't it? What is the worry that you're still carrying from yesterday? Maybe it's the worry that you had today when you saw who won or who didn't win or what ballot was passed or gas prices are going up. How much? Hello? What's the worry that you're carrying today? What's the bill that's coming your way? What's the thing that you don't know that you're still worried about even though you don't know it? Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about, right? I don't even know, but I'm going to worry about it anyways, right? What's the worry? Palms down. Cast that care on the Lord, all right? Just cast that care. Just practice palms down. Say, God, I give this to you. Just do it right. God, here's my palms down prayer. God, this is not mine anymore. I'm dropping it, right? God, this is a hot potato, but you can handle the heat, God. I'm going to get out of the kitchen and let the chef take care of the cooking, right? God, here, I'm just giving, God, it's yours. The fear, the fret, the anxiety, the worry, palms down, God, it's yours. Doesn't that feel good? Oh my goodness. Now, wait a second. Now that you're a little bit lighter, now that you're a little bit freer, let's do the other one. Oh, palms up. All right, come on, get your palms up, get your palms out. And listen, you Christians, don't feel guilty about receiving the blessings of God. Sometimes, well, you know, God, if you want to. How about this one? Let's spiritualize it. If it be your will. You're already blessed. It's God's will. God wants you blessed more than you want you blessed. Stop apologizing for your blessings. Talking to a lady, I saw her drive a new car up to church. Oh my gosh, I was so, like, I love cars, you know what I mean? And it was a car that I actually would drive, and I was just like, wow, whose car is that? I saw her kid get out and run to the school, so I saw her later, and I said, hey, was that your new car? And she's, oh, you know, it's just, we got it used, and it was just, you know, it was a great deal, and we calculated the price and the, but, and I looked at her, I said, stop it. Stop apologizing for your blessing. You got a new car. It's great. You're saying, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. Oh my goodness. Wait, Christian, we can't even get a new shirt without, I saw in the store and thought, you know, maybe I'd just shut up and say thank you for the compliments. Right? All right, so palms up, okay? Because I noticed, I saw you guys. I'm up here, right? I can see a whole lot from up here. You didn't think I could, but I could. And you were like it's going to hurt when God blesses you. God, no. All right, palms up, all right? Everybody say, God, I'm ready to receive your goodness and your blessings. Amen. All right, there you go. That's how easy it is. Oh, my goodness. Here's this man, Isaac. Isaac is the son of Abraham, the Abraham, if you know who I'm talking about, right? Abraham who launched out and God was with him. And now here's Isaac, his son. Isaac is not as well-spoken as Abraham, or he's not a rascal like his son Jacob, right? You know, God says he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac's the one you hear the least about. You know, he's kind of a quiet guy in the Bible. I would imagine maybe he's a little introvert. I don't know. You know, he's just kind of this dude that's just kind of doing life. And the Bible talks about God was the fear of Isaac, right? That was the term that it talked about. And so Isaac had a reverence for God. He was the son. He was the promised son. And here comes Isaac, and he starts following in daddy's footsteps, starts making some mistakes, right? Tells his wife to call him his sister because he's afraid. Hello, he's afraid. We're talking about fear not. He's afraid of the Philistines that are surrounding him. And so he gets caught, giving his wife a kiss outside. The king says, she's obviously your wife. You're showing affection to her. What if somebody would have tried to come and sleep with her? Then we would have brought guilt upon ourselves. And so he commands everybody in the kingdom, don't touch this man. The Bible says that Isaac sowed to the land of drought and famine, and that same year he reaped 100-fold what he sowed. That's blessed, right? He starts to dig wells around. He has his servants digging the wells of his father, and there's contention, there's arguing, there's fighting. Things just aren't taking place for him. And there he is, and God speaks to him in Genesis. I want you to turn there with me and see this in your Bible, Genesis chapter number 26. We're going to play in the Old Testament tonight, all Old Testament tonight. Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 24, God is speaking to Isaac about his life. And look at what it says in Genesis chapter 26, verse number 24. It says this, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. Let me say it to the old King James once again. Fear not. And then he goes on and he says this, for I am with you. Now we saw that in the first point, right? He says, I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Now notice, Abraham's faith now had been accounted to his son Isaac. But God says, I'm the God of your father Abraham, but guess what? I'm with you. And not only am I the God of Abraham, your father, not only am I with you, I'm going to bless you. Now, that would be great, wouldn't it? Except think about this for a second. I want you to go on a journey with me for a second. God had already protected him. That was a blessing. He had already, the verses before that said, he had already sowed and reaped 100-fold in a year of drought. That was a blessing. God is promising continued future blessings. It's almost as if God is saying, you think you're blessed now? I'm just getting started, Isaac. I've got a plan and a purpose that's much greater and much bigger than you even thought possible. Maybe, just maybe in this place tonight, you have come into this place and you have said, well, I've already been blessed. You know what? God has already done great things. And you know what? It's almost as if God, maybe in your thinking, maybe you didn't think this on the surface, but might be something on the inside of you said, maybe I've used up all the blessings that God has for me. I'm here to tell you tonight, you ain't seen nothing yet. God is just getting started with your life. There is a purpose. There is a plan. There are much greater things that are ahead of you than what is behind you. If you thought you were blessed before, you just better hold on, honey child. God has something great for your life. Oh, I ought to get a great big amen on that one. My goodness, because God wants you blessed more than you want you blessed. Now, we have to define what blessing is, because if you walk out of this place and think that it's just sowing and reaping, if you think it's just financial, you're going to walk out of here with the wrong impression about what I'm talking about. Blessing, the way we define it here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, is the capacity to succeed. Blessing is the capacity to succeed. You might not have money in your bank, but how many of you know you don't need money to be successful? All right? You may not have material wealth on the earth, but how many of you know that material wealth does not equal success. Success is being able to complete and do the will of God for your life, right? So the blessing is the capacity to do what God has called you to do, succeed. And therefore, in your life, if you are going to succeed with what God has called you to do, you need the blessing of God. Amen? So here God says, I will bless you and you will have descendants on the earth as I promised Abraham. In the same way, in your life, God has a call individually for each and every one of us. Everyone in this place, God has a calling, and God wants you to succeed at your personal individual calling. Therefore, recognize and realize that even though you may not have money in the bank, even though you may not have material wealth, even though you may not have the new car, even though we use that as an example on this one, listen, here's the deal. God will bless you with the capacity to succeed. Whatever it is that he's called you to do, wherever it is he's called you to go, whoever it is he's called you to minister to, that could be your family, that could be your children, that could be your spouse, that could be your community, that could be your neighborhood, that could be your street, that could be your relatives, that could be the people on the job, wherever it is, whoever it is, God is going before you and he has given you the capacity to do what it is he's called you to do. You guys with me tonight? Very important that we understand this. I will not fear. Why? Because number one, God is with me on the journey. Second thing is this, is that the blessing is ours. We have the blessing of God on our life, and that is the capacity to succeed. Last thing for tonight is this, fear not because help is here. Fear not, because help is here. There was an elderly Italian man who lived alone in New Jersey, wanted to plant his annual tomato garden, but it was very difficult work as the ground was very hard. His only son, Vincent, who used to help him, was in prison now. So the old man wrote a letter to his son and described his predicament. Here's what he wrote. Dear Vincent, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year. I am just getting too old to be digging up a garden plot. I know if you were here, my troubles would be over. I know you would be happy to dig up the ground for me, just like in the old days. Love, Papa. A few days later, the father received a letter from his son. Dear Pop, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, Vincent. At 4 a.m. the next morning, the FBI agents and local police arrived, dug up the entire area without finding any bodies. They apologized to the old man and left. And that same day, the man received another letter from his son in the mail. Dear Pop, go ahead and plant the tomatoes now. That's the best I could do under the circumstances. Love, Vinny. See, sometimes in our life, we bellyache and bawl and squall about the help we don't have, don't we? Oh, if only God would give me money, if only God would give me a friend, if only God, if only. Can I tell you something? We are so blessed. We have every resource available to us. You have the blessing, the capacity to succeed. Your help is here. Don't be afraid of the future because you think that you're going at it alone. You're not. God's with you. He's blessed you, and the help is here. And for all of us, we need to understand this. I love the passage in Isaiah chapter number 43. Turn there with me. Past the Psalms and the Proverbs, you'll find a big book called Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 43, great passage of scripture. Great place to go when you're feeling alone, feeling down, feeling like you need some help. Look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 43. And I want to read verse number 1 and verse number 2. Take a look at it with me. It says this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1 and verse number 2. It says, but now, thus says the Lord. Let's do the old King James. Thus saith the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Notice what he goes on to say. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Help is here. God is with you. He has blessed you. And guess what? Whatever you're walking through, whatever you're going to, God is right there with you, holding you up. He's going to hold you from getting taken by the currents of the waters. He's going to stop your body from being burned by the flames. Whatever you're facing tomorrow, whatever it is that's causing you fear or fret or anxiety, whatever you're worried over laying up at night, not getting sleep, guess what? It's time to roll over and get a good night's sleep because God is with you. He's blessed you and he's here to help you. Oh my goodness, if we only understood that God gave us his spirit, the comforter, the counselor, guess what else he calls him? The helper. You have every resource available to you in Christ Jesus, but you got to access it. You got to tap into the power and the presence of God. And it's as simple as a prayer. It's as simple as getting into the Word of God. It's as simple as asking God to impart to you his grace, his ability on your behalf when you can't do it. God will be there for you. He has never let anyone down yet, and he's not going to start now. You're not going to be the one bad apple. You're not going to be the one isolated, the one that God forgot about. No, God has a track record. God needs to uphold his word. God is not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. In fact, the Bible says that it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, when you have a promise from God of his presence, that he'll be with you, that he has blessed you, and that he will help you, you can stand on the promises of God when the world is falling down around you. You can continue to stand on the promises of God. I got a statement that I want us all to say. I want you to repeat this out loud, and I want you to hear yourself. In fact, I want your fears to hear you saying this out of your mouth, okay? And I want you, just in case the devil's been coming after you and trying to get you into fear, I want you to say this so loud that you make the devil nervous. I want you to make the devil fear, all right? Because it's time that we put that devil in his place, and it's under our feet. And so I want you guys to say that, in fact, if you have the ability, would you stand on your feet? Because there's something about standing on the promises of God, something about standing up and saying something about your life, all right? So here's the statement. I will not fear because God is with me on the journey. The blessing is mine and his help is here. Okay, it's on the overheads behind me. You guys got this? I'm going to say this with you. So I'm going to come down the stairs here and I'm going to stand with you guys. All right. So on the count of three, ready? 1, 2, 3. I will not fear because God is with me on the journey. The blessing is mine and his help is here. One more time. Say it louder. I will not fear because God is with me on the journey. The blessing is mine and his help is here. Kick it up one more notch. Come on. I will not fear because God is with me on the journey. The blessing is mine and his help is here. Now give the Lord a great big praise. Hallelujah. God is so good. You can have a seat if you like.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.